Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
The word of God in Mark chapter 1. If you turn there, I'm going to preach the word this morning and signs and wonders will follow the preaching of God's word. Hang on. I don't know if you really expected that. I will preach the word and signs and wonders will follow. So we're expecting a demonstration of the kingdom following the hearing and preaching of God's word. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes in verse 15 to preach and proclaiming the good news. He says, the time's come, the kingdom of God is near or at hand. Repent and believe the good news. I think we really need to be fully educated or fully understanding that Jesus came with good news. That it isn't a bad news gospel. In fact, the gospel actually means good news. So Jesus said, I want you to turn your life around and believe the good news. Now, good news isn't something that we are making up. The good news is the word that Jesus brought and the word of God, therefore, about what God was doing for mankind through his son's death and resurrection. And so Jesus said, I have come to bring you, let's make it personal today, I want you to believe good news. I don't want you to be believing bad news. I want you to live with your faith firmly fixed in my good news. And if you live in that positive, you see, the kingdom of heaven is a positive kingdom. It's a very nice place to be. We have been taken out of darkness through faith in Jesus Christ. And we've been put into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That means that the powers of evil, the powers of Satan, no longer have power over us. That we are in the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of heaven, where there is no disease, no inability to overcome. There is power to win. There's victory. There's peace and joy in the kingdom. So this is good news. But Jesus doesn't just say, hear about the good news. He said, I want you to believe it. And believing is such a little word, but changes your life. Many people have heard the good news for years, but have never seen the power of the good news change their circumstances. And Jesus said, it's believing the good news that will do you good. Not just knowing about the good news. And believe, the word to believe is a word of motion. It's a word that actually is speaking of movement or action. So if I believe something, it's something that I'm actually doing or acting upon. And this is a word that actually doesn't make us a passive kind of person. That we just assimilate knowledge every Sunday about God. Knowledge of God is great. But what you believe will actually empower you with his victory. And so believing is a word that actually Jesus said, I want you to act on what I say I've done for you. I want you to act on the positive of what my word says belongs to you. You see, we in Christ are the richest people on earth. There's nobody better off than us. We are so rich. We have his presence. We have his power. And not only that, it's all P's this morning. We have his promises. His presence, his power, his promises. The exceedingly great and precious promises. Four P's. Presence, power, precious promises. Go on, do it. Quick. Okay, let's do it really quick. Presence, power, precious promises. Okay. But we are so rich. We have been made rich in every way because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. And he now lives in us to manifest the power of the kingdom, to manifest every promise, to bring it to pass. So Jesus says, I want you to believe the good news. I want you to believe and act on my word, my promises. I want you to treat my promises as something that is a definite, not just a maybe. Treat my word as a definite, not a maybe. Don't put your buts and ifs in front of it or behind it. Say your word is fixed, it's settled, it is permanent, it can't change. And you back your word with your power. Now, because of this amazing richness that we have in Jesus, there is something that you and I already know about, but we need to be aware of and reminded of this morning. Is that what we have and what God wants to do through our lives will be challenged. It will be challenged. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Satan spoke to Jesus and he said, and he issued a challenge, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. The challenge was against who Jesus was. And actually, the challenge came against his destiny or his purpose on earth. And whilst you have every good thing in Jesus, you must know that what God has assigned you to do for him will be challenged. You must know that you were born for war and born to win. Because whatever is born of God, that's us through faith in Jesus, overcomes the world. You are born a winner when you're born again. Your new birth makes you a success. Not your old nature, not your past life, not your character, but Christ in you makes you a winner. And our confidence isn't in the flesh, it's in his life in us. It's in his victory in us. It's in his power in us. And so that challenge comes against you and me. The challenge that says, you are not a son of God. You are not a child of the king. You are not righteous. You don't have the power to heal the sick. That's what the devil says. He challenges who you are and what you can do. His goal is that even though he can't take the life of Christ out of you, he can get you believing what he says and therefore stop your destiny. The devil wants to stop your destiny in God. And we need to be aware that these challenges need to be met with a strategy from heaven to win. Jesus answered the enemy. And he didn't even bother to say, no, really, really, I am the Son of God, honest. And you know, we don't even get into discussions with the enemy. Because we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places. He's under our feet, guys. We are rulers and reigners in life through Jesus Christ. So we don't have to enter into discussion about who we are. We know who we are. And if you don't, God wants you to know who you are in Christ. So Jesus didn't say, I am the Son of God. He just said, well, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He actually answered, it is written. He used the written word of God to declare to the devil what God's purpose was, what his plan was. And so man will not live by bread alone. That's the truth. We are called to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's why we need to not just know the word, but be declarers of God's word. Speaking God's word to bring victory. The battle is actually on. The battle is on for who you are, what God says you are, and what God says you can do. The battle is on for your destiny in Christ. The devil will want to oppose your destiny. And he does. And that's why we need to know who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. We cannot be defined by what we do for a job. You can't answer the enemy with, I'm a businessman. You can't answer the enemy with, well, I'm a nurse. You answer with the word of God. I'm a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm an overcomer. I have an anointing to destroy yokes. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. So you answer with the word, not with your profession. Not with your kind of, well, don't you know who I am naturally? It's who you are spiritually in Christ that makes the difference to what the enemy listens to. The enemy will be subjected to spiritual authority. Amen. Now in Ephesians 6, let's look there. We see how Paul sees the battle and getting ready to take on the enemy. Today, you know, I believe God really wants us to rise up and lay hold of our destiny. That there are things yet to come in our lives that we are not going to allow the enemy to stop. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that we can actually deal with the enemy who's trying to steal the destiny and our rich inheritance we have in Jesus. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, the word of God says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because of that, Paul says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, hey, Paul is saying there are days when it gets more evil than other days. There are days of attack. So we're ready for everything the enemy is going to throw at us. We're in a ready position rather than a surprise attack. And I wonder why it went wrong. Live ready. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. I love those words. You may be able to stand your ground. I know what ground I'm standing on. It's a victory ground. It's in Christ. I know where I stand in Jesus. And I'm not going to be moving from there. Thank you very much. Thank you for the suggestion. I won't take it. Thank you, Jesus. So stand your ground. After you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So Paul says, think in terms of a soldier with armor. Think of your life at war with a real enemy. Don't think you're living in times of peace. For a believer, we live in internal peace because the Prince of Peace lives in us. But externally, around us, there is a war. And if you are not going to recognize it, then you will be defeated. And so Paul says, I want you to know there's a war on for your life. There might be times where there's a war on for your marriage. There's a war on for your kids, definitely. And there's a war on for your destiny, because if you fulfill your destiny, a lot more people are going to find Jesus. So Paul says, picture yourself in Christ. The truth of God's word holds your whole life together. You can't hold your life together on your emotions. You can't hold your life together on your experiences. Past things and failures cannot hold your life together. The truth must be the way that you live, bringing all things together in Christ. Put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart from the accusations of the devil. Righteousness is a gift we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. It is something that is given to us because Jesus becomes our Savior. And so we have been made righteous and we are called to walk in that righteousness. Put it on to protect your heart. Put the feet of the gospel of peace on. That means live in peace with God and with others. It's good news. We can't live in peace because of the blood of Jesus. And then Paul says, the shield of faith. You see, when we have and are living by faith, our faith stops the arrows of the enemy penetrating us and destroying us. When we give up trusting God and we start to worry and we start to let go of God's promises, then the enemy has an easy attack. But when we say, no, I'm trusting Jesus, I'm believing what he said, the enemy cannot penetrate that shield of faith. I love to think of those fiery darts being put out like a match in water. Thank you, Jesus, that our faith extinguishes the power of what the enemy shoots at us. Put on the helmet of salvation. Let your mind be protected with the hope of your salvation. You see, faith is of the heart. Hope is of the mind. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. We're expecting a good outcome, guys, because we're living with good news. I trust this is helping you. And the helmet of salvation means to live with a hopeful outlook on life. The word brings us a hopeful outlook. Faith gives us an expectancy. Hope brings us this kind of, wow, it's going to be good. God has good plans for me, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. When the enemy shuts everything down that you can't see the way, the word brings hope. Put on the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind with the hope that you have in Jesus. And then he says, the sword of the Spirit. Take up the sword of the Spirit. I love this. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. This is God's weapon. The sword of God. Now, I've been around museums. I've been around London where you see lots of different kind of war tools and equipment. You know, you've got, that's what they had in the First World War, Second World War. Look at what they had then. I've actually seen in Mongolia, I've seen some of the swords they had. My goodness me, they'd shave your head quickly. They're that sharp. But the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, is more powerful than every other weapon ever created. Because God's power is greater than anything the enemy is going to use as a weapon against us. Thank you, Jesus. So take up the sword of the Spirit. As Jesus did when the enemy challenged the truth of who he was and what he was called to do. So Jesus said, it is written. So we must say, it is written. We mustn't sit down and feel sorry that life has just got more difficult. We must take up the sword and fight. You know, I was watching, I love watching some of the bigger rugby games, and I was watching it last night. I just finished, you know, and I thought, I wonder if there's anything interesting on. And I saw Ireland and, South Africa game was on last night. I turned it on. It was just starting. It was brilliant. And I watched these guys. And I mean, they're all pretty determined to win. There's a determination in them. Like, I don't want to lose. And do you know what? Sadly, Ireland did lose. But only by 2 points, which is quite a victory. But we need to know that we're here to win. And we must have an attitude of, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my kids to the world. I don't want to allow the enemy to take every good blessing that God has promised me. I don't want to see this go wrong. I want to see it go right. An attitude of a winner. Somebody who is going to go out there and say, come on, we can do it. And so Paul says, this is who you are in Christ. You're a warrior. You're a soldier. But take up the weapon, which is the word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, you know, just before the fall of Adam and Eve, you can read it in verse 1. The serpent is in the garden, symbolic of the enemy. And he's more cunning. And I think we need to hear that. He's more cunning than anything else, any other animal. And what God's communicating is he's very clever. Satan knows how to speak to you to stop you actually believing God. And so he says to Eve, did God really say that if you ate that fruit, you would die? So Satan brings the challenge. He wants mankind defeated. He wants you and me defeated. So he brings a challenge against, not me personally, but against the word of God that I'm believing. And he directly says, did God say that? I mean, one of the challenges is, listen to this one. Did God really say you're healed? So the enemy is going to say, did God really say you're healed? Why then have you got these problems? And the enemy always challenges the word. Every promise God speaks, and every promise the Word of God says is yes and amen in Christ. Every promise will be challenged. Hello. I'm hoping I'm not just preaching to myself today. Every promise is challenged in your life. Particularly when you believe it and accept it and say, God, I accept what your word says about me. I accept you've said this is what's going to happen. I accept your word that I'm healed. I accept that I am anointed to heal the sick. The devil will say, well, did God really say that? Because when you prayed for them, they didn't get healed. At that point, the big question's going to be raised in your mind. If you will entertain that question, you can actually lose your faith. By believing the experience or something that didn't work above the word of God. You see, this word is above every word. This word is the word of the living God. This word is true and faithful. Every promise in it is backed by God. And God is not a liar. He doesn't say all the promises are yes and lie about it. He cannot lie. Our God is true and His word is true. And so the enemy comes to us once we've received a promise and say, yep, Lord, it says in your word, I accept what you say. The enemy will come and challenge it. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 13 when he talks about the parable of the sower. And he says, you know, when the word is sown into your hearts and you hear God's word in your heart, trouble comes because of the word. Do you know a promise in your life attracts trouble? I actually attract trouble. It's brilliant. I know that God is raising an exceedingly great army here. But that will attract persecution and trouble. What God has said to you about your life will be challenged. Your call, your destiny will be challenged. Did God really say? And when you hear that question, a question against the word, you need to know it didn't come from you. It came from the enemy. You see, a lot of Christians go around saying, oh no, I'm just not believing. It's not. It's the enemy that brought up the question. You didn't. You're trusting God. You're believing His promise. And you're acting on what He says. You see, one of the words for war, one of the kind of weapons of war is propaganda. You know, it's one of the ways the enemy works is with propaganda. Jesus always works with truth. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Only the word will set you free, beloved. Only knowing the word will set you free. The enemy uses propaganda. What's propaganda? It's lies. Jesus said he's the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. He wants to take life. Understand that he issues propaganda so that you are disturbed in your life and you begin to believe a lie and not the truth. See, Eve fell because they began to believe. It wouldn't happen as God said. But everything does happen as God said. Jesus is coming back because God said it. He will return because God said it. Everything prophesied about Jesus in the scriptures came to pass in his life. Not one word returns empty. He is not only a giver of promises. He's a fulfiller of promises. And so the challenge is, what God has said, are we going to take up the sword and cut the enemy's head off with it? Or are we going to sit and reason and say, oh no, I'm feeling quite bad. I feel I'm in a challenge. This week we've had a really, really challenging week. And I asked Sandra permission if I could tell her story. But on Monday, she went into hospital for a routine check to have a cyst drained. And the nurses came in, and then they came in with the consultants and the doctors. And because we thought it was routine, she was on her own, and the consultant said, basically, he pushed the panic button and said, this is serious. This is very, very serious. And the nurses said, well, we'll take a biopsy, and we want you in very quickly. So instead of, the nurse said, what about Friday? He said, oh, no, as soon as possible, Thursday. And he said, this is really looking very bad. So we'd had a meeting early that morning at 7 o'clock, and we were having another meeting, Pastor Andrew and I, and we had this phone call from Sandra driving over, having had a biopsy, with some very bad news. And at that point, there is a challenge, isn't there? And it's a very real challenge. And at that point, we have two options: to believe God's word, which is a promise that by the stripes of Jesus, she's healed, and we will see that manifestation, or the fear propaganda of the enemy. Now, I'm just going to tell it as it is. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just going to say it. So, we got hit in our soul. Okay? So your mind, your emotions, there's a reaction to bad news. But I knew that what was important is that we, having done all, we would stand. So we had to do something so that we could stand in this. So what did we do? First of all, confess the word. First of all, pray. Say, God, speak. And then study. I went straight to Isaiah 53, which I think is a great medicine if you need healing. Because he took our pains, he took our sicknesses on himself, plus our sins. He took on the devil, he took on every enemy, and he defeated it on the cross, rose again triumphant over it. So victory is ours. And so we're looking at considering his victory. The devil wants us to consider defeat. Now, this is where people say, yes, but what if the doctors, it's true. We work with healing, but above healing is the word, and then God uses doctors. Is that okay? So the word is exalted above a negative report. Pastor Colin puts it like this: you can have a bad report, you need to call it fact. But the good report, the good news, is truth. What God says is above the fact. It's more powerful than the fact. In fact, it can heal the fact. And I was reading things like, no weapon formed against you will prosper. The Amplified Version really worked for me this week. Because it says, every tongue that rises against you, so in every report that comes against you, you will refute. That actually means that you will show or prove to be wrong. I mean, when I read that, I think it was on Tuesday night, I was like, come on, we're going to prove it wrong. But you understand that we're in a war. You do know that, don't you? Because the Bible tells us we are. Having done all, stand. Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. And Wednesday and Thursday, the peace was phenomenal. It was incredible. It was a gift. Because when you have that kind of report, peace is phenomenal to live in. It surpasses all understanding. See, this is why we're so rich. We can live in peace. Even when there's been a bad report. So we went in with the good news in our heart. Believe the good news when there's a bad report. You understand this? I'm just wanting you to get this, because we all live with bad news sometimes, don't we? The evil day comes. But it's the news you're living with that will change the outcome. Praise God. On Thursday, nothing wrong. You see, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The enemy comes and says, did God really say you're healed? Did God really say this promise was going to come to pass? I was talking to a parent about a year ago, and their son was on drugs, and they were really devastated because at one time he seemed to follow the Lord. And it was a phone call, actually, and I said, look, let me help you. What promise has God spoken, particularly over your child's life? And this is a charismatic Christian who's been saved 20 years, who had their baby dedicated, their son was baptized, and they didn't have a promise for their kids. I'm like, right, we need to back up and say it's time to get one. If you haven't got one, time to get one. That's a reverse, by the way. I don't think you knew what I was doing, did you? Because we wage war. We rule. We cut off what the devil's doing with that spirit of addiction and rebellion with faith and declaration in God's word. I don't know if this is helping you. Some of you are looking at me like, huh? For me, this is it, guys. We know we have Jesus. We know we have every promise. But we are in a war. And so unless we use our weapons, we won't see the destinies of God come to pass. Declare the word of God over your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, your relationships, your future. Proclaim God's word, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, options will come to believe something else. Things won't happen as you thought, and so you will be tempted to think they won't happen, as God said. But leave it to God. Your job is to believe. How it works out is His job, as long as you remain faithful to do what He asks you to do in the process. You see, Peter had God's word spoken over him through Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus was defining who Peter was and what his destiny was. Now, of course, we know he isn't the rock. He's the little rock. Jesus is the rock. We don't get the church built on personalities. We built on Jesus. But that was challenged, that destiny and call. And in fact, Peter failed because he left Jesus. But Jesus said, when you've turned back, I've prayed your faith won't fail and that you will turn back. And then you will fulfill your destiny. So Jesus spoke the word and continued to believe even when Peter did a runner and failed. Aren't you glad? If you've done a runner and failed, pick up the word and declare it once again over your life. God is faithful. Paul was another one who had the word opposed. God appeared to him and said, I want you to be my witness in Rome. And so Paul spent, after hearing this word, 2 years in a prison in Caesarea. It's where he wrote Philippians. And for those 2 years, he must have been thinking, what am I doing stuck in a prison when I should be in Rome? But he didn't overwork the situation. He just trusted God. When there was a shipwreck and it seemed that everything was going to be sunk, Paul said, I know I'll end up in Rome. His destiny was linked to what God had said. The promise spoke of the future and enabled Paul to say, I'm going to get where God has said I'm going to get. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to finish with 1 Timothy. Hang there. And for me, this is an important message. Because if you don't rise up and take up the sword of the Spirit, then the enemy can actually have your stuff. You don't send people into battle without weapons, do you? You know they're bound to lose without a weapon. And God says, I'll send you in to win with my word. Take up the sword of the Spirit and declare and use my word, praying always. Timothy, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight of faith, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Okay, now, I believe there's a secret here. You see, we can't expect God to do what we're called to do. We've already heard at the beginning of this message that we have his presence. We have every promise. We have his power. We have the gifts of the Spirit. But God is saying we need to wage war to bring about a victory for our destiny and for the good things that God has promised us. It's like a farmer. God's saying, I don't want you to do all the work of planting the word, acting on the word, giving thanks and seeing the crop grow up, and then allow a herd of animals to come and eat your stuff. Don't let the devil eat your stuff. A farmer doesn't casually say, oh no, look at that. They're taking my crop. I've failed. He says, right, come here. Come to mama. That was good, wasn't it? You like that one? You didn't like the reverse, you like. It was like, come here. I'll have you. You're not having what's mine. And so Paul is speaking to Timothy and in the church, and I don't know that we really need to understand this. In the church, life works in right relationships. This is Paul, the leader. with Timothy, his son, who is also a leader, but he's in right relationship. Paul actually knows where Timothy is, what he's doing, and he's advising him for the future. So, in other words, this means you are being led by somebody. The church is a family of which there's a family kind of government. A right kind of order. You understand this? So Paul is saying, you're my son. It's a relationship of love, but it's also, I charge you, I'm telling you now what to do. You know, so many Christians don't like to be told what to do. Do you know what she said to me? Can you get offended? Because, you know, you're just being told something. This is the way. Well, I'll work it out on my own, thanks. It's just me and God. Just me and God, me and God. It's nobody else, just me and God. No, it isn't. It's you and God and us. And so Paul says, concerning the prophecies once made about you. So what's a prophecy? It's something to build up, to encourage, and to actually guide Timothy's life in the destiny and purpose of God. Now, this isn't Timothy having a prophecy without Paul's knowledge. This will rescue your life if you hear it. Because prophecy must be tested. And one of the ways it's tested is in the house or the church of Jesus Christ, where you are willing to submit what God has said to leadership. So that your life isn't shipwrecked by deception. I had an email from somebody I love very much. But years ago, they went off track thinking it was God, and they're still off track. They're suffering today. Wouldn't listen. Young man, great potential, wouldn't listen. It's not God. Don't do it. But God still can recover a shipwreck. But it's best not to have one. I know which one I choose. And so Paul says, the prophecies once made. Paul knew what the word was. It wasn't just down to Timothy. Come on. Now this is the right way to deal with prophecy, guys. Because as the Spirit moves, prophecies will be flowing. But I'm telling you, there's crazy stuff that can happen. And we are not wanting to grieve the Spirit and shut down the gifts of prophecy. But we don't want people going off just because they heard God by themselves. There's an accountability as there is in a family. In a family, people need to know where you are, what you're doing, and why. Praise the Lord. It's not the wrong kind of control. It's out of love and a protection for the destiny of God. So Paul says, the prophecies once made. So the word that was spoken that I was there for and I believe in about your life, wage war. Take it up and fight the good fight of faith. In other words, don't allow the enemy to discourage you, to put down the good things God said about you. Pick them up and say, I'm believing them. That is what I'm going to follow and move in. Paul says, by following them. Now, this is what I love. It's like the word of God, the word spoken over Timothy's life, is what Paul is saying. You must follow God's word, not what the enemy is saying. And I believe today it's time to pick up your sword. It's time to discover what you really believe belongs to you. Not what I tell you to believe, but what you have as a word that is unshakable from God over your life. That you have over your children. If they have left the way, the promise has power to bring them back to Jesus. I love to do in marriages is to pray and ask God when couples get married to speak, to be the first one to bring the word, particularly in the church where I'm your pastor, to bring the word, or Pastor Andrea, over your marriage so that that can kind of be something you move in as a couple. I was thinking about Pastor Andrea and David's word. It was about being grand designs. You should see their house. But my goodness me, it was a challenge. There's been a challenge a year when the enemy tried to destroy their house. It's like now, let's look at the house because they kept believing that God had a good report and what they believed would come to pass. Take up the word over your marriage. Not what you feel, not the options of your experiences. Say, God has said this. This is what we believe. And we wage war over our kids and over our young people. We take up the word over this generation. We say the word. The enemy will not have our kids. So be strong in the Lord. The power of his might. See yourself as a soldier with his protection. You're wearing Christ, essentially. But proactively take the word and use it to declare, to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to cut off the enemy's head, to destroy the enemy and stop his work so that you can come into every good thing that God has prepared for your life and your future. Your destiny requires the fight of faith. Let's stand and fight, beloved. Come on, let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.